The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. Wasn't that fascinating listening to Marlene Watkins talk about her experience of Lourdes? It wasn't quite what I expected. I wasn't expecting such a miraculous intervention in Marlene's life, which Lourdes has obviously caused, and one that's very pertinent to a lot of people post-pandemic. I think a lot of people can identify with that idea of their worlds reducing or being reduced by the pandemic. Not something they want, but something which has happened. And the normal social activity, the normal breezy interactions between people and going places and doing things, it's taken a bit of time for some people to get back into that. So it was very reassuring to hear how Marlene was completely transformed by her visit to Lourdes and to the baths there, which are a wonderful experience. I've had experience with them myself. And it really is a wonderful place, Lourdes. But all Marian shrines are wonderful and life-changing in all sorts of ways, not just the most obvious ones where people are cured from a particular physical illness, but also the psychological, spiritual, moral difficulties that people have, that they too can be cured when people visit as pilgrims to these places. And in the same way, that's true of prayer as well, intercessory prayer in particular. We pray for things, we ask for things to happen or change or people to change or things to come about. And sometimes they don't. But in that process of asking, sometimes we're changed by that and changed for the better. We're made more patient, or we accept that God's will is not our will. And his will is always preferable to ours, even if we can't understand it, even if we can't see why that is happening at that time. So this next 30 minutes is our time of prayer, when we ask for things. We ask for God to intercede into difficult situations. But we do so with a spirit of docility, a spirit of filial trust in a loving God, a loving Father who takes care of us at all times. And we ask for divine mercy that even if things don't change, at least we'll be able to understand them better or be more resigned to them in the true sense, in a Christian sense. So if you want to be part of this, you can text me your prayer requests on 251-928-2111. Or if you'd like to call in and speak, yes, 150 years after Bell invented the telephone, we can use it, and you can call in on 888-928-0881. Okay, shall we meet our prayer warrior partners today?
Hey, Kevin, in the studio with us, we have Mr. David Williams as well as Sherry.
David and Sherry, welcome on board.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
How are you doing, David?
I'm just fine and dandy.
So we didn't scare you off then?
No, sir, you did not.
That's great. Good to hear. And Sherry, you're now a regular.
Yes, I am.
That's wonderful. Any reaction from Luke to yesterday's prayers?
Any reaction from him? No, but he's doing really well. So I ask him about his day, and he just is, you know, doing really, really well, has lots to say and things like that. So
do you think, Sherry, he's aware of just how much a fixture he is on this show, how much we talk about him, how interested we are in him?
I do tell him that I do pray for him a lot on air. So I think he does know.
Good. Well, he's very welcome to call in. And if you're listening on the encore presentation, Luke, hello and welcome anytime to call in. So, David and Sherry, well, I've got two old hands with me here today, so you know exactly how this runs, right?
Well, this is David's first time here.
Oh, David, I thought you'd been on before.
No, sir. This is my very first time.
You fooled me. You were such a professional when you came on air. You see, I thought this man knows his way around a radio studio. Is it your first appearance in Archangel?
It is.
Wow. My goodness. So tell us, David, where have you come from today?
I originally hail from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and I came over in 1987 to go to the University of South Alabama and kind of stayed, and I currently live in Daphne and work in Fairhope.
And what is your local parish down there?
It is Christ the King in Daphne.
It's a great place, that. We've had quite a few parishioners on from Christ the King, and I have to say, and with some from the school as well. So what sounds like a wonderful parish community.
It certainly is.
Well, that's great. So, David, have you managed to, I mean, I'm assuming you know about the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Yes, sir, I do.
And are you familiar about how we pray it on this show?
Yes, sir, I am.
Oh, that's wonderful. You mean you've actually listened to the show?
I have listened to the show.
Sherry, we've got one listener.
Yes.
That's amazing. Okay. Only joking, David. So, in which case then, we'll kick the ball off, as we say. And then, David, I will come to you first, if that's okay, Sherry. You don't mind?
No, of course I don't mind.
And then Sherry will get the second decade. But listen, if you're out there at the moment and there's something on your mind, something on your heart, why not think about kicking it our way, letting us enter into it in prayer? And you can text us at any time in the next 30 minutes on 251-928-2111 or call in. And you don't even have to give your name. You know, you can be anonymous. 888-928-0881. And there's five decades to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Why not nab one of those decades for whatever it is that you need? There must be something or someone that you want to pray for. Okay, shall we begin?
Yes, let's begin.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
That is great. We have off and running, as they say. So this first decade, David, I'm going to come to you with any requests you may have for prayers or anyone you want us to pray for or anything you want us to pray for. So who or what have you brought?
For the healing and conversion of my son, Zachary Christian Williams.
Okay, Zachary Christian Williams. It's a wonderful name, Zachary Christian. Let's pray for him, for his healing, body, mind, and spirit at this time. And may I ask roughly how old is Zachary Christian?
He's 23.
Okay, so we pray for all young people around about that age. I know Sherry Luke's not much, around about the same age, 20 or so.
Luke is 20. My other one's almost 23.
Okay, so we'll remember all those young people at this time, but we're going to pray especially for Zachary and whatever healing is needed in his life. We ask that through the heavenly intercession, through the divine mercy, that be given to him and through his father's prayers here today. And we also pray for David as a father, that he'll be given peace of mind and heart in this situation. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, David, and thank you, Sherry. For this second decade, I'm going to come to you, Sherry. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
I'd like continued prayers for my friend Nisi. I prayed for her a few weeks ago. She had back surgery. So the back surgery has been completed, and she's at home. I know she's still in a lot of pain, so I pray for fast healing for her.
Yes, I remember you praying for Nisi and her back surgery. Is the convalescence slower than was hoped?
I think it's about the same. It's just, I think maybe, you know,
just
a little
painful.
Bit, yeah, painful.
Yeah, difficult. Well, Nisi, if you're listening, you've got a good friend in Sherry. We're praying for you prior to the operation. Now we're praying post the operation. And we pray that the Lord will step in here and help your convalescence, speed it along a little bit. We ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's known as the Great Comforter. And I can't think of a better person I would rather have when I have backache than a comforter like the Holy Spirit. So we ask the Holy Spirit come upon whatever back pains you have at the moment. And also that the Holy Spirit will enlighten your team of physicians and doctors and medical staff that are treating you at this time, that you get the right treatment in the right manner at the right time. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, David. So we're up to the third decade now, and I'm going to turn to Reed. Reed, is there anyone or anything that you would like us to pray for in this third decade?
Yes, Kevin. I know that I usually will pray for the RCIA initiates that are coming up in Easter, but we're getting close to Lent, and as a RCIA instructor myself, you know, they're on my mind, so I'd love to get them in there.
Absolutely. And remind me, which parish are you instructing at the moment, Reed?
At St. Patrick's in Robertsdale.
Okay. And how many charges do you have at the moment?
About 6 people are in our class.
That's amazing. And are they all ages, all backgrounds?
Yes. We have about 3 who are between 16 to about 20. And then we have 3 who are, probably, 35 or older.
Right. That's quite a collection. And you're instructing them all. That's quite a responsibility, isn't it?
I'm not the leader. I'm one of the instructors. It's Melanie Miller at she's the, I believe, evangelical director. She just started at St. Patrick's. And she does a great job. Things are really running smoothly there with her working there. And she definitely is the lead instructor, but I'm helping her with it.
Well, we'll definitely pray for you and for all our CIA instructors across the Archdiocese of Mobile. We'll also pray especially for St. Patrick's, though, and for Melanie and the work she does there with you and all your fellow instructors at the parish. And we pray for these 6 people who are on that journey to full communion with Rome, full communion with the faith, fully entering into the Paschal mystery at Easter time. It's a wonderful, exciting journey, and it's good that they have you with them, Reed, to help and pray for them. So let's offer you up and Melanie, everybody at St. Patrick's, and all RCIA instructors. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Sherry. And thank you, Reed. Now, if you're listening, there are 2 decades left, and you can be part of that. You can text us on 251-928-2111, or you can still call us on 888-928-0881. So, David, this is your first trip to Archangel Radio, I guess, is it?
Yes, sir, it is.
And is it what you expected?
Somewhat, it is. It's a radio station, and but it's a very spirit-filled radio station.
Yes, I think you're right. I think it's a very mysterious radio station. There aren't many radio stations that broadcast by the Bay of the Holy Spirit, are there?
No, they're not. This is the only one.
That's a good sign, I thought, when I heard that. So, David, listen, you've got the 4th decade, so you've got a second bite at this. We prayed for Zachary Christian in the 1st decade. Who or what would you like us to pray for in this 4th decade?
I would like to pray for my soon-to-be betrothed, Anna Elizabeth Beach. She is actually baptized Catholic, but is currently going through the RCIA program at Christ the King.
That sounds wonderful. Is there a date set, David?
There is no date set.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, we pray for Anna Elizabeth, absolutely, and we give thanks for her coming into your life, David, and we pray for a holy Catholic marriage that you will enter into that. And you've probably heard of Blessed Karl of Austria. Have you heard of Blessed Karl, David?
I'm not familiar with Blessed Karl.
Oh, you should check him and his bride Zita out. Her cause is up for canonization. He's already a blessed, and I think she's a servant of God. And there's some very, very beautiful and very moving photographs of their wedding day, and there was, unlike of that era, this is in the sort of early 20th century, they're smiling, they're beaming. You can tell they're so happy to be getting married.
I will have to definitely look at them.
But the thing was that after all the party ended, I forget who turned to who, maybe they turned to each other, but Zita said to Carl, or Carl said to Zita, and now we have to get each other to heaven.
Hmm. That's beautiful.
So that's our prayer today for you and for Anna Elizabeth. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
That is great. Thank you so much, David and Sherry. Sherry, final decade. Any quick requests?
Yes, for my Archangel family, for Mike, Reed, Ellen, Shannon, you, Kevin, and Michelle, I'd like to pray for all of us.
Do you know what, Sherry? You're not going to believe me, but I was going to just say, whatever you prayed for, I was going to say, and by the way, I'd like to pray for everybody at Archangel Radio. And you took the words right out of my mouth. So the Holy Spirit's obviously moving over us. I'd also like to pray for you, the listener, whoever you are, wherever you're listening, be it in a car, be it in a home, be it in a hospital, a school, walking down the street with your dog, wherever it is, you're listening to us. We're praying for you as well. We're praying that the Holy Spirit will come upon you this day, that you will know the love of God. You will know his mercy, and we all need mercy. We all need to be forgiven. So I think that's a wonderful prayer, Sherry, and let's pray for the good work of Archangel. We are broadcasting, but we're not just a radio station. We are an apostolate. We are here to edify as much as we are to entertain, though obviously we've got to entertain first. And yes, we pray for everybody, especially everybody behind the scenes who puts in so many hours and so much work. And so much blood, sweat, and tears and prayers for this operation. We offer them to you, Lord, and ask that you bless our sacrifices. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we say together,
Holy God,
Holy
Mighty,
Holy Mighty One.
Holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Well, David, that was your first prayer on air. How did it feel?
It felt great.
Would you come back again?
Absolutely.
Maybe Anna Elizabeth and you could come on together.
That would be good. I think she would be all up for that.
We've never had an engaged couple. Have we, Sherry?
No, we have not. So, yeah, that would be great.
We've had every other variety. Well, we're developing every other variety. We've had brothers and sisters. We've had sisters. We've had fathers and daughters and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we've had a betrothed couple. So that would be really wonderful. And gives us an opportunity as well, David, to accompany you into holy matrimony. So that would be a great privilege on our part.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. I'll see if I can make that happen.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you, David, and I wish you a very, very happy day today.
Thank you, Kevin. You as well. God bless you.
God bless you. And also, Sherry, thank you again for your untiring work in organizing all our prayer warriors.
Yes. Tomorrow you'll have my mom on again.
Wonderful. By the way, do you like our fanfare for our prayer warriors?
Yes. That was new today, wasn't it?
Well, we thought we'd need to up the game a bit here. These people are coming into combat, right? They're entering into the gladiatorial arena. So we thought we'd better give them a little bit of, for those about to pray, we salute you.
Yeah, I liked it.
I hope your mother's not too worried. She might think she's coming to a pro wrestling event tomorrow if she hears it. So you better warn her and say, this is just what we do now.
Well, she listens every day, so she heard it.
Well, wonderful. Can't wait to have her on again. Thank you very much, Sherry.
You're welcome.
Now, when we come back, we're going story time, and we've been talking about the London Charter House and the great sacrifice of the monks. I want to tell you a little coda about that, a really mysterious incident that happened after that, but you'll have to tune in for that in the next segment. So stay tuned with the Archangel Radio. As you heard, we are the only radio station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit.
Now it's time for the Dueling Kevins with Mike Romano as Kevin Turley and Reed Hodges also as Kevin Turley. And because this is a listener participation contest, be sure to text 251-928-2111 to let us know who you thought was the better Kevin Turley. And now the Dueling Kevins.
Good morning, good morning. Hope you're doing well. Today's story is a tale of a boy who had always wanted to play football. But the real football, not European football. You know, the kind of football that our producer Mike Romano likes to enjoy. Now, today, due to time constraints, I can only tell you half of the story. We will have to conclude the other half later. So here we go. Jocelyn McAlooney, we'll call him for privacy's sake, was a mama's boy. He asked his purr mother if he could try out for the football team. Now, in the past, his mother told him no, because she was afraid that he might get hurt. But this time was different. His mom finally acquiesced and said, yes, but on one condition. She had to accompany him. Well, as you can imagine, Jacqueline was not too thrilled that his mom would be accompanying him. He agreed anyway. On the day of tryouts, the head football coach, Coach Phipsy, had Jacqueline try out as a running back. Now, when the quarterback handed Jacqueline the ball, he was tackled immediately by a burr of a man twice his size, who nearly knocked Jacqueline unconscious. Upon seeing this frightening tackle, Jacqueline's mother stood up and gave one of the coaches an ominous and deathly stare. Upon seeing this, Coach Phelpsy looked at Jacqueline's mom and exclaimed loudly,
Miss McAlooney, don't you be looking at my coaches. Miss McAlooney, don't you be looking at my coaches.
Now, we don't have much time left, so we'll have to leave our story there for the time being and pick up some time later. You've been listening to the Turley Frequency on Archangel Radio, and now we join Kevin Turley, number two, Reed Hodges. Reed.
We start our story in the foggy streets of London, at a monastery where there was quite a poor showing. They only had a very small group. But when they came to find the monastery in the morning, they did not find quite what they expected. They found themselves. You see, in that monastery, they took the time to recollect, to come together. And there, they all combined into one body to carry out the good news.
And now it's time for you to call in to get the real Kevin Turley at 1-888-928-0881. That's 1-888-928-0881. And now the real Kevin Turley. We think.
Yes, well, welcome back to the Turley Freak in Frequencies. I think there are a number of frequencies that are flying around. I apologize for that interference from another radio station, obviously. It was broken in, probably broadcasting from somewhere deep in Ireland. Where exactly, I couldn't quite work out. But yes, this is the Turley Frequency, and I am the Kevin Turley speaking to you live on Archangel Radio. And thank you to our producers, Mr. Mike Romano and Mr. Reed Hodges, for their wonderful verbal dexterity and their wonderful storytelling. Now, I don't know if now we've got rid of those Kevins, those other Kevins. Mike and Reed, are you there?
Yes, 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 we are here. So, you know, we're asking our listeners to text in 251-928-2111. Who was the better Kevin Turley?
We know we can't hold a candle to the real one, but
it's
a competition between us.
Yeah.
Well,
we're very
vote
competitive
early
guys.
And vote often, as they say. So, but listen, what did you make of Marlene and Lourdes? Have either of you been to Lourdes?
No, I've never actually traveled to Europe before, but it was a very compelling story. I did know about the story. You know, they I'm not an expert on it or anything, but they find the water there, and then, you know, it has healing properties.
Sure.
And
do you think it would make you want to go?
No doubt. I mean, it definitely is something that, you know, you probably can put you know, a lot of faith into. Like, if you it's something that's tangible. I mean, so like, if by going into the water, it's a bit like baptism in the sense that you know, it's our perception of it, and then it has true, tangible, lasting effects.
Yes, absolutely. What about you, Mike? Have you been to Lourdes?
I have not been to Lourdes, but I have some holy water, you know, from Lourdes, and you mm-hmm. know, I've blessed all the rooms in my house with it, blessed my
Good
car
man.
With it.
Good man.
You know, whenever my kids are sick, I've put some of the holy water on them. You know, my son Jordan, you know, sleeps with a crucifix that
sure.
we put some of the Lord's water on. And by the way, he's been doing much better. A praise report, less anxiety. And so he's so I want to thank all of you, you know, for the prayers.
Well, it's, I mean, I should have really asked Marlene a little bit more. Lourdes water is different from holy water, as we know. It comes from the grotto and comes from the spring there. My Lourdes water upstairs, which I also liberally splash around the place, was given to me by my accountant, who happens to be Sikh. Don't ask me how that came about. But Our Lady gets everywhere, and Lourdes water is extremely powerful in that regard. As you know, I've told the story about my last trip to Lourdes and how my wife won a competition, so invited me to come along. But it is a wonderful shrine, like any of these Marian shrines. And it's a great, and the miracles are often not physical, but emotional, spiritual. Mm-hmm. People come to terms with whatever the difficulty is in their lives. And I found it just fascinating listening to Marlene. Obviously, that trip to Lourdes back in the year 2000 totally and radically changed her life, right?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely fascinating to hear. You know, it's something that you read about on the internet, you hear about what it is, you know, the healing properties like we discussed, but to have a firsthand account of somebody who was struggling, you know, they weren't really able to live life to the fullest, and then they go to this, and it's not something that you, like, you could miss it, I guess, if you weren't really looking. But if she goes to it and then she comes back and she's more mentally healthy, that's something that is extremely valuable.
So what I'd like you two and me to think about, and also our listeners, is how we could have a radio pilgrimage.
Yeah. No, I like that.
We three, but also many people in Radio Land, talk a lot about theater of the mind, where we take people on journeys. Well, what about if we went on a pilgrimage as opposed to a journey collectively? And maybe we could link up with somebody at a shrine. There's, of course, a very famous American shrine to Our Lady at Champion, which I'm sure you know about, up in Wisconsin. Maybe we could link up and have a sort of, so somebody we could be praying together with them, our prayer, Divine Mercy could be from there. And we could have maybe people there. And we sort of virtually, if you like, travel to that shrine collectively. What do you think?
We could do the show. I mean, that'd be awesome. We could do the show from the shrine, like College Game Day.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the shrine in the background.
Lourdes Game Day. Game Day at Lourdes.
You two can absolutely go to the shrine, and but I'll leave you to discuss that with Ellen. And Ellen is our station manager, and she can discuss the finances. I was thinking something a lot cheaper, but you're ahead of me there. Well, listen. Shall we go story time, or shall we get in one of the other Kevin Turleys?
Oh, yeah, let's go story time. I think we've heard enough of the Kevin Turleys. Again, if you want to vote, 251-928-2111 to vote who was the better Kevin Turley. Maybe, you know, Kevin, if we're doing the if we're doing that, you know, we can you'd get triple blessings, because you got Kevin Turley number one and Kevin Turley, you know, number two.
So really, I mean, what you're doing also, Mike, is multiplying the Turley frequencies.
Yes, I am.
So the show is now going out in triplephonic sound across the globe.
Oh yeah. Hey, listen, that would be ideal. We can certainly go for that.
Well, let's see what Ellen says. You never know. This might be the last Turley frequency. If it is, three Kevin Turleys are wishing you all the very best for the future. But we shall see.
All right. Let's begin story time. Without further ado,
let's go. Get those trumpets blasting. Well, welcome to Storytime. It's one of the Kevin Turleys that's speaking to you now. I'm not sure if I'm number one or number three, but I'm in the mix and very happy to be with you. Now, we don't have a lot of time. I know one of the other Kevins said that as well. We never have enough time, right? But the stories just keep coming, you know? I mean, it occurs. If we don't finish it today, we finish it tomorrow. If we don't finish it tomorrow, we've got Friday. Such is life, right? Such is life. That's if the show continues to Friday, and I hope it does. Now, I hope you've been keeping up, because I've been really working you quite hard this week, because we've been talking about the Charterhouse in London, the Carthusians, and we talked about how they came about, and then their moment of crisis, and how the King's Men turned up, it gave them an ultimatum, and how the prior had that mystical experience at Mass, do you remember, where the Holy Spirit seemed to come down when they were praying specifically to the Holy Spirit for guidance. And after that, he was a man reborn. He suddenly decided this was his moment. This was the moment God had called him to witness. Because a martyr is ultimately a witness, right? That's what the word means. And he witnessed so beautifully on the podium just before he was hanged, drawn, and quartered. And he died with the holy name of Jesus on his lips. No better way to die. If I die, that's how I'd like to die. Uttering the holy name and enveloped in the holy name. We've just had the month of the holy name. And it's a very, very powerful thing, the holy name of our Lord. So there was a little bit of a coda after that. Do you remember then we talked about the way that the King's Men severed poor old Prior John's limb and took it off to the monastery, and they nailed it up against the wall, and it was a way of psychological terror, really. That's what it was. They were trying to terrorize the remaining monks. Now, they'd just lost their prior, and these were men who had been schooled in monasticism, in hermetical living, in prayer, and austerity of one sort or another. And we assume they were living the life authentically and well. So these monks then looked at that limb, and some decided to give in. I know, it's a bit shocking, isn't it? But some decided to go with the King's Men. But 10 Carthusian monks and lay brothers decided that they too were willing to lay down their life. And on May 29th, 1537, from the London Charterhouse, which had been their home as well as their monastery for so many years, in a silent procession, how else, those 10 Carthusian monks and lay brothers were led off to nearby Newgate Prison. Now, do you remember I was telling you about the party of American tourists, pilgrims who came to London, and I was showing them the remains of the Charterhouse and the different brickwork which demonstrated what was medieval and what was later. Well, it's only a very short walk to where Newgate Prison would have been. So I walked this touring party down the street past St. Bartholomew's Hospital, a very famous hospital in London, through the meat market of Smithfield, and along to where Newgate Prison would have stood. I say would have because it doesn't stand there anymore. There is only one wall left of it. Today, what stands in its place instead of Newgate Prison is the Old Bailey. You may have heard of it, the famous Central Criminal Court, where all London's most infamous criminals, murderers and otherwise, have turned up. and being sentenced to prison of one sort or another. So it's a very old and very infamous court, really. No court is famous, I guess. They're all infamous. Nobody wants to be there. But if you walk across the street from the Old Bailey and down another side street, you come to a medieval wall. And it is the only piece of Newgate Prison that resides today. Now, Newgate Prison was a place of great infamy. It was a place of dread for anybody who was sent there. It had a number of levels. And the further you went down into the bowels of this building, the worse it got. The darker it got, the damper it got. It was just awful. It was just an awful place. So these 10 monks were led to Newgate Prison, and they were chained up against the wall. Can you believe this? You know, like in the cartoons, sometimes you see prisoners where they're manacled against the wall so they can't move their arms or their legs. Well, that was how the 10 monks were chained. So as a result, they could not feed themselves, and that was part of the object of the incarceration. The hope was that they would starve to death. Remember, this is the 1530s. This is a time before any enlightened penal reform. So there was to be no pretense of a trial, simply that everybody would die in the bowels of Newgate Prison, that these monks would end up skeletal against the walls. That was the aim. Now, hearing of their plight, there was a Catholic woman by the name of Margaret Clement. Margaret Clement. And believe it or not, and this is one of these wonderful sort of quirky things of history that is true, but if you wrote it in a novel or in a stage play, people wouldn't believe it. But Margaret Clement was the foster daughter of St. Thomas More. Yeah. So remember, Thomas More had a long link with the Carthusians of London. He tried his vocation there as a young man and lived alongside the monks for about 3 years, and then decided it wasn't for him and had gone off to become a very eminent lawyer and then a statesman, a Lord Chancellor of England. But, you know, he was also a saint, and he was a saint before his execution. What people forget is that St. Thomas More, when he was Lord Chancellor of England, still wore a hair shirt under his clothes. Just as Prior John Hutton had worn a hair shirt just before he was executed. So these men, their austerity, their penitential lifestyle continued right up to the end. And in some ways was a preparation for that moment of death, that moment of execution. So Margaret Clement, Thomas More's foster daughter, heard about these poor monks chained up against the wall, unable to feed themselves. So what did she do? Well, she was a very brave, very courageous, but also a very innovative Catholic woman. What she went and done was bribed the jailer. She went to see the jailer, she bribed him so that she could get access to the monks. And then she disguised herself as a milkmaid, and she went into the prison, and then by this subterfuge, Margaret fed the men as best she could with what little she had. Now, it was a very difficult situation, and you know, Margaret's attempts to look after these men was always going to be very limited. And in the end, all of the incarcerated monks slowly starved to death, despite Margaret's best efforts. In the end, a total of 16 monks from the London Charterhouse were martyred. 16. And with that, after 167 years, the London Charterhouse was no more. And for centuries, the buildings of the Charterhouse, do you remember where I had stood with those pilgrims? It had just stood there. It was empty, just a memory of Catholic London in a new world order that had been created by Henry VIII. And like a lot of Catholic London, the new order, the new regime that had come in, didn't want to be reminded of its Catholic past. So places like Charterhouse were not really publicized, just as Blackfriars and the other Westminster and the other monastic elements of London were played down to some extent or forgotten over the generations, as Catholicism virtually died out in London. London's Charterhouse, the only Carthusian monastery ever to reside in London, became a silent monument to a life and to a witness that had long since been banished from this city's memory. And over the years, the site of the monastery and what was left of its structure went through a number of incarnations. It first became a hospital, then a school, before becoming a hostel. There was a curious thing happened, though, during the Blitz in 1940. The Blitz when the Luftwaffe was attacking London and bombing for about a month non-stop every night. There was aerial raids upon London and much of London was set aflame by bombs and incendiaries. Well, during that period, what was left of the former monastery buildings was extensively destroyed and damaged by these raids. However, after the war, this damage allowed archaeologists to examine the original remains of the Charterhouse. And while so doing, they were digging below what was the former high altar of the Carthusian monastery, when the archaeologists came across a grave which contained a coffin. When they opened the coffin, they discovered that the body within it was that of Walter Manny. Do you remember Walter Manny, who was the layman who had got the permission for the Charterhouse to be built in London? And when they opened his coffin, beside his skeleton, there lying still intact, was the papal bull of 1378, which was instructing that the Charterhouse could be opened. That's interesting, but I want to leave you with Margaret Clement. Do you remember that courageous woman who tried to help the monks when they were in prison? Now, Margaret was a good Catholic, and like so many Catholics at that time, rather than compromise her faith, Margaret left England and went into exile. And eventually she settled at a place called Malins in the Netherlands. And by 1570, poor Margaret was lying dying. It was in fact July 6th, which is the anniversary of her famous foster father's martyrdom. That was the day St. Thomas More had been executed. And she was now lying dying. There were those gathered around her, her family, and she started to motion to them, indicating that somehow her time had now come. She knew that the end was now. However, asked how she could know such a thing, Margaret replied that their presence, standing all around her sickbed, were the monks of Charterhouse. The same monks who had been imprisoned at Newgate and long ago, for whom she had risked her life. And she told those as she lay dying that those white-robed figures now did bid her come. You've been listening to Storytime here on the Turley Frequency from this Kevin Turley today. Maybe on other days we'll have other Kevin Turleys telling other stories. Margaret Clement, pray for us.
That was great, Kevin. That was very interesting. What do we have coming up tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we're doing comedy, believe it or not, on this show. We're doing Catholic Central. They're the latest Catholic comedy troupe, and they're coming along to put smiles on all our faces tomorrow.
We had comedy today already, don't you think?
I think the jury's still out on that. Let's see what the text says.
it was an attempt at comedy.
It was very funny. Listen, you've been subjected to multiple Turley frequencies today, and I hope you enjoyed every single one of them. Let's do it all again. Same time, same frequencies, multiple Turleys tomorrow. Until then, stay tuned to the only station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. That's Archangel Radio.